We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Is intercepted by Sam Mills.
Steve Smith is going to go all the way. Panthers win in overtime.
Newton steps up, goes for the end zone. Olsen, touchdown. Brian Burns to the house.
This one is picked again. Intercepted by Boston.
Bridgewater. Throw into the end zone. Touchdown!
Samuel still on his feet inside the five to the end zone. Touchdown! What a play!
And it is caught for the touchdown by Moore.
And in the foot race, McCaffrey to the end zone.
Keep pounding on three. One, two, three.
Keep pounding.
Oh, you can feel it in the air, Panthers fans. You can feel it in the air. There is activity. There's pollen. You can feel that in the air, too. But there is some activity as free agency begins to yield some results here in the National Football League. Carolina signing a couple new players today, releasing a veteran. We'll get to that and much more on this edition of the Roar Podcast. John Ellis here from Blue Wire. Hope everybody's having a great start to their week. Billy is off tonight. He'll be back next show. But we got a guest for you. Oh, we got a guest for you, man. This guy has been covering the team since the 1900s, okay? He's been here for a minute. Since the Dom Capers, Dodge Viper, and Uptown Charlotte era, okay? And the real ones know what I'm talking about there. Darren Gant, Panthers.com reporter, is on the line with us. Darren, happy Monday. How are you enjoying this old legal tampering day
today? It is certainly legal at this point, although my feelings are hurt that Billy's snubbing me. I'm taking this as a personal affront.
Call his ass out, Darren Gant. That's what I like. Oh, look, Billy and I both love your work. We think you've done just great stuff over the years for this team in terms of coverage, and we're glad to have you on our show here on Blue Wire. Let's just start with what's happening today. We mentioned the legal tampering window. I love that term. Carolina's already illegally tampering. We're already getting after it. Zach Kerr has been released tonight, apparently, the defensive tackle. There was a bit of a surprise, I think, to many. And they've signed a couple of offensive linemen. Darren Gant, what do you make of day one here as the Panthers begin to make some moves?
Well, you especially can't give them grades until they've actually officially happened, I think. And you know, as the Frank Gore career in Philadelphia taught us, nothing's done until it's done. So we'll see. But, I mean, I think it was pretty obvious that going offensive line early was going to be a priority. When you walked into the offseason with one starter under contract, you knew they needed talent and numbers. And so far, you've spent a big chunk of your money on Taylor Moton, and you kept him, and that was your number one priority. And, you know, I think Elflein and Irving check off a couple of boxes that are important to Matt Rhule as he puts this thing together. He likes positional flexibility. He likes guys that are under 30 years old, and both those guys hit both those marks. And I think, you know, it kind of leaves some room for interpretation. I mean, if John Miller doesn't come back, Elflein might be your starting right guard going into next season. Where do you put Cam Irving? Don't know yet. We'll see. I mean, he could be swing tackle. He could be a starting tackle. He could be your starting left guard. I mean, they have options now that they did not have. But again, from going into this process with one starter under contract and not a lot of certainty with six unrestricted free agents going into the year among that offensive line group, you know, they knew they were going to have to put a lot of emphasis on that.
Taylor Moton, this was a big deal for a lot of Panthers fans, obviously, looking at the structure of this roster. We thought, Billy and I both doing this pod for a year now, thought Taylor Moton was arguably the best player on that roster last year, the most consistent, at least on the offensive side of the ball, and I think it's to their benefit to get him locked in for one more year. And on that, left tackle, what do they do from here, Darren? What are your thoughts on maybe they'll in draft, maybe there's a free agent out there? Do you have any initial thoughts on where Matt Rhule and Scott Fitterer might go there?
Well, I mean, again, it's obviously very early. We're not even into the actual free agency period yet. There's still a lot of moves to be made, and I expect they're going to continue to make moves. Again, you can't really fill out a roster with what they've got at offensive line right now, so there's a lot of work to be done yet. The one thing I do know is, and I spent a lot of time talking to people about this in Mobile back in January, this offensive line group in the draft is considered to be pretty deep, especially at tackle. So, you know, if you would like to have all your blanks filled in prior to the draft so you don't go in buying for need when the draft rolls around. But the consensus in the scouting community seems to be that you ought to be able to find starting tackles in the draft outside the top 10. I mean, and guys who can be good starters for you. So I think that's an option. You know, and I think they'll obviously, you know, continue to shop around. But, you know, Moton was the key to it. And it feels a little underwhelming, I think, a lot of times when you spend your money on your own guys, because you look at what New England's out there in these streets doing today and, right, you know, the big money the Bucs are throwing around to keep all their guys. I mean, it's a lot more dramatic to go spend money on somebody else's people than your own. Right. But a lot of times the best money is the money you spend on your own guys. And I think, and listen, they're trying to do a long-term deal with Taylor still. I think that's still something that they would love to do in the short term, or certainly before July 15th, to keep him around long-term, because Matt talks about him as a guy, you know, as one of their guys, one of the guys who embodies all the stuff that, you know, they want to be as a team. I mean, he's shows up every day. He's consistent. He's accountable. He doesn't commit penalties. He's always on the field. He's, you know, I mean, he's just one of those guys, and you don't feel bad spending your money. I mean, he reminds me an awful lot, even though, you know, positionally he's not identical, but he's got some characteristics of Jordan Gross about him. I mean, just that guy who is always there, who you know what you can expect, and it's going to be at a pretty high level from him. So, you know, I think tagging him was an automatic if you don't get that deal done. And I think you continue to try to do the deal, you know, in the future, because he's worth keeping.
Well, I thought it was a good piece of cautionary tale journalism. I don't think that was the intent, but your notebook piece last week, Panthers willing to slow play free agency. You made the point just now. Look, it is fun, like Tampa, like, you know, what New England's doing today, going out and having a shopping spree. You have priorities within that building that need to get sealed up. And I think, to your point, you're spot on with that.
You know, I do think there's an opportunity to go out and do some things. I mean, even with signing what could be a couple of starters on the offensive line, I mean, they've still got holes. I mean, they need to sign a defensive tackle. They need to sign a cornerback. They need to find some help at linebacker, among other spots. And it's just, I think what's going to happen, you know, again, this is such an unusual situation with salary cap going down. And that's something that we really hadn't had to consider for over a decade. And really since the lockout year, it's been going up since 2013. It's gone up at least $10 million every year. And, you know, the cap probably would have been about 210 this year, except for COVID, and you lose all the revenue. And now all of a sudden everybody's dealing with 182.5. And so what I think's going to happen is after this first big wave tonight and tomorrow, when those top 10, 20 guys on everybody's free agent list get picked off, I think there's then going to be a little bit of a reset. And all those middle-class veterans who normally would be out there getting, you know, $5, $6 to $8 million deals are going to be looking for work. And a lot of them are probably going to get one-year deals, and a lot of them probably will prefer a one-year deal to, you know, just to reset again next year when the cap's normal again. So I think there's an opportunity to find guys in the next couple of days after the first wave of this thing kind of blows through.
Ah, Darren, we got to talk quarterbacks. I loathe it. I dread it because this is sports talk radio, hot take, hot air material. So we're going to keep this as cogent and decent as possible for your sake and mine. The Deshaun Watson rumors obviously are out there. So we all understand that's going on. We'll see what happens. There's Russell Wilson chatter. Who knows what's going to happen there? You've got a litany of rookie quarterbacks available, presumably at 8 or possibly trading up for one that would be available. And then you've got Teddy Bridgewater, very much a part of this team. Very much under contract, as Billy and I talked about last year when that deal broke. We looked at the specifics and understood, guys, this is a two-year deal with a third out, and right, don't expect there to be easy maneuvering if year one doesn't go well. And so here we are. You know, obviously, the intro to the big offseason for Scott Fitter was the reported interest in Matt Stafford. Obviously, the team is still very interested in Bridgewater's success, it sounds like. What's the most honest assessment you can give us on what they're trying to do right now?
Well, I think probably, and again, it's Monday night at 7:15, and there's a lot of stuff that could happen between now and Wednesday night, or much less the draft. I think the honest way to say it is, they want to get better across the board. Quarterback is a spot where, you know, they'd like to improve if they can. It's not an automatic that they're able to. Wanting to be in the Deshaun Watson mix isn't the same as, yes, by God, you're going to get Deshaun Watson. I mean, right. I think there are other people who are interested in that too. And here's some breaking news for you. You know who's interested in Deshaun Watson? Everybody except the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, that's who ought to be interested in Deshaun Watson. I think every other team in the league. So, sure, I think there's some interest. But even if they've got extreme interest, there's no guarantee they're going to be able to land that fish. I think, you know, and I've thought throughout, I mean, you know, teams like the Jets, teams like the Dolphins have more goodies to offer. So there's no guarantee. We'll see. I mean, I think there's an interest, obviously. You know, they were in the Matt Stafford deal because, you know, and again, I don't say this with any offense. You know, Matt Stafford's better than Teddy Bridgewater. You know, yeah. Deshaun Watson's better than Teddy Bridgewater. So, yeah, I think if you upgrade, you can. But there's also a non-zero chance that Teddy Bridgewater's the quarterback in a couple of weeks. So I think in that instance, you've got to kind of reset and think, okay, how do you build that thing around him? And, you know, obviously getting Christian McCaffrey healthy is the biggest part of that. I think first half of the year, and in a couple of games when Christian was out there, Teddy looked okay. Teddy didn't look so great later in the year. But he's also become a little bit of an easy mark at this point. I think it as hard as it might be for a lot of people to look at him going into next season, you know, a lot of the criticism, I think, of the guy is a little unfair because, again, he was out there without Christian McCaffrey. He was out there without Russell Okung, you know, and patching in left tackles. So what an ideal situation. Did he play well? No, he didn't. That's a long way of saying it's complicated.
That's right. Well, I like long ways of saying it's complicated. Makes for better content, Darren. As you know, Bridgewater pretty much gave me what I expected. I did not expect 50 touchdowns. I didn't expect 30 touchdowns. But what I see on tape from Teddy are just some limitations in terms of vertical passing, vertical processing. Athletically, he's very good. He did get hurt last year, and that's something Matt Rhule had talked about, as you know, that we want Teddy healthier. I am interested in this, though, from your perspective. I'm fascinated by Matt Rhule's messaging. I know it's early on for the guy. I do like a lot of what I'm hearing. He reminds me a little bit of the John Fox. He's got that high energy. He's not chomping the Nicorette like Foxy used to on the sidelines. They've got that similar sort of blue-collar New York Giants mentality going on there. From an energy perspective, I like Matt's energy. I like what he brings. From a messaging perspective, he was up and down on Teddy all year. Now, folks out there on Twitter will say, well, he's back and forth. He's waxing and waning. I look at it differently. I think Matt is very demanding. And I think Matt Rhule is not afraid, much like one of his mentors, Tom Coughlin, and his mentor was Bill Parcells, to call guys up. And I think he's been fair about it. But let's be honest, Darren, he's been very direct about how he feels about Teddy, good and sometimes bad.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Burns hot. There's no doubt about that. I think he'd probably tell you the same thing. He's a high-intensity guy. He expects a lot out of people, and he's going to be demanding. He's going to practice them hard. It's, you know, the one thing I can tell you, having been in there a little bit, last year wasn't a normal year by any stretch, but not seeing training camp-type practices, so to speak. For November and December practices, they ran at a pretty high tempo. I mean, yeah. They get after it pretty good. And he's going to push guys. He's going to make some people uncomfortable. Yeah, and listen, if he's going to play Teddy in the fall, he wants a better version of Teddy. Mm-hmm. If he can't get a better version of Teddy, he'll go find somebody else to do it. And I think the same thing's true up and down that roster. He's going to want a better version of, you know, linebacker play, a better version of safety play. You know, that's just how it's going to roll with this guy. And I think, you know, it's taking him – listen, I mean, let's be honest. There's some adjustment going from the college game where you're dealing with 18 to 22-year-olds, and all of a sudden you walk in and you're dealing with guys, you know, between 25 and 30, some
yeah,
of them.
Now, absolutely.
There ain't a lot of 30s around here. And, you know – it's fewer by
except,
the day.
Except for you, right?
Yeah, I wish I was a
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
30.
Me too.
But anyway, so, yeah, I mean, Matt's going to push those guys. There's no doubt about that. But he's a different sort of cat. I hear what you're saying about John, and they are similar in that they're both all ball. I mean, they are ball coaches, and that is what they do. And, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it develops, because he's going to put his own stamp on this team for the next little bit. And I think that's going to be through moves made in the next, you know, week to 2 months between now and the draft. It's going to turn into a Matt Rhule production, absolutely, over that time.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything, which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
Right. And, you know, a 7-year deal is a big deal. That's a huge contract, a huge commitment. But you've covered this league for a long time, Darren. You know that 7 years shrinks pretty quick when you don't start winning. Matt Rhule's got a huge contract. That's a big dollar amount to pay a guy just to coach. Scott Fitter is a very experienced personnel guy from Seattle. He's been there for 20 years, man. Worked with Mike Holmgren, for crying out loud. And then Dave Tepper, who has a, I would suppose, a pretty big say in some matters on the football side. And then you've got Simer Suleiman. You've got Pat Stewart.
What are the mechanics right now? How heavy is Matt Rhule in terms of having a hand in personnel? Does he? He talks about, I'm just a coach, guys. I'm just a coach. Does he have a say, Darren? Do you think?
I mean, look at the contract numbers. I think that's going to tell you a lot of what you need to know. And look at the way, and Scott's been honest about this since he's been in town. I mean, this is like, you know, Pete Carroll and John Schneider in Seattle. And there were a lot of people who wondered about the power structure there. Well, the power structure was Pete's in charge and John's here to help him. And I think in a lot of ways, that's what's going on now. You know, I mean, it's not a subservient, it's not like an absolute dictatorship or anything like that. I think Scott's got enough chops in scouting and is respected enough around the business that, you know, he's got more weight. I mean, he's not a pushover, not a patsy, but they want to put together that Pete Carroll, John Schneider type front office. And you talked about Dave. The thing about Dave Tepper is he's passionate about his product. He wants very badly for this thing to be good. And he wants it to get good as soon as it possibly can. So I think, you know, right now what that means is he's extremely interested in getting this thing better. So, you know, does that mean he's a meddler? Too soon to say. But what I can tell you is the guy is absolutely interested in his product and wants to push every button he can as an owner. I mean, I think one of the things that, you know, is going to be a factor in the long-term success of these guys is stuff like training center. And I mean, Dave's basically promised, I'm going to spend all the money I can on stuff not salary cap. Right. So anything other than players, he's promised to spend his money on. So I think that's going to be, you know, a big component of it. If you've got good facilities, if you've got a stable workplace, you know, and people, you know, like your program, it's going to be easier to be successful. So we'll see how that stuff comes together. But, you know, I mean, Dave also put a little extra pressure on himself by talking about quarterbacks. I mean, he you know, sort of puts a bullseye on himself and the team as a whole when he comes out and says some of the stuff he said this offseason.
No question. It's a fascinating story to watch. I will say this, they very soon will not be practicing in ballrooms anymore. That's a net positive, Darren. What do you think?
Yeah, they do have that bubble that you absolutely need in Charlotte 3 or 4 days a year.
It just seemed like the JJR days, you know how it worked. Every big game, it's the flood of the century, and there they are at the local Marriott or wherever.
Everybody always remembers those couple of three rainy days per year. Nobody ever remembers the 200 blue skies and moderate temperature days when they're standing out there under the sunshine thinking, man, look how cool it is to practice in Charlotte. Oh, Don Bro, their old tight ends coach, love Coach Bro. He would walk out on the practice field every day. It'd be sunny and 60 degrees, and he'd say, this is why people retire to Charlotte, North Carolina.
There's a name for that. You know, I had Luther, one of my good friends, Luther Broughton, who played there decades ago. We talked all the time. Old Luther is an old Furman guy, Darren, and we talked about Don Bro. Don was his position coach, and he couldn't stop talking about Donnie Bro. You know, of course, Don had a legendary career with Joe Gibbs in Washington, too, and he brought up similar stories about Don. I think he still lives in Charlotte. Great, great, great guys to talk to, and it's just one more thing we like to do here at our little product, our little nest here is talk the history of the team. So let's do that. Greg Olsen and Thomas Davis have come home, have retired as Carolina Panthers. Obviously, they each left for, you know, opportunities to sort of get, you know, maybe one more shot at a ring, and usually that doesn't always work out, and it didn't for these guys, but props to them for giving it a shot. Just from my perspective, you know, two of the cornerstone guys of this franchise over the last 10, 15 years. I'll put it over to you, though. I mean, you've known these guys for a long time. How was that to see these guys coming back home and being welcomed by this new regime, who I thought did a great job of honoring the tradition of these two guys and reflecting on the history?
Yeah, it was a really neat, and being in the building and seeing not just the ceremony that was live streamed, but the reception after the fact. The one thing, and again, this goes back to Dave Tepper being passionate. I think it's important for Dave to understand that there's a lot of stuff. I mean, Panthers never won a Super Bowl, you know, career record in franchise history is under 500, but there's been some cool stuff happen here. Mm-hmm. And I think it's good for Dave to tap into that a little bit. And then he was kind of instrumental in rebuilding the relationship with 89. He, you know, wanted to make sure this event the other day was first class, and guys got honored. I mean, he didn't have big relationships with either one of these guys the way the previous owner did, the way he's had with other people in the last couple of years. But, you know, I think it's important to tap into that history and to have a sense of it, because Thomas and Greg, as great as they were on the field, and they were both outstanding and did stuff nobody else did. I mean, Greg Olsen's first tight end to ever go three straight 1,000-yard seasons. Thomas Davis, first guy to ever come back from three ACLs, and he played in the Super Bowl with a broken arm, for God's sakes. This man literally gave his body to play football. So I think it's important for Tepper, and it was such a neat thing, you know, to – create some of that history, to tap into that and make sure new guys. I mean, Thomas said during the thing, he's like, Matt Rhule, it's on you now. I mean, it's for you to carry forward. And all the, you know, great leaders, Matt talked about walking down the halls and seeing, you know, seeing there's a picture of the six Super Bowl captains, Greg and Thomas and Cam and those guys, and to hear him talk about what that means, they've got to create that here under Matt Rhule. So I think what they did the other day with that ceremony is a good first step toward that process.
I totally agree. It's one of the things, you know, from my end, from following this team for so long and now more in an analyst capacity, just it was my hope that when Jerry had to bow out, that Dave Tepper wasn't going to be the type of guy that took a dump on the traditions in the past and the Sam Mills. And I think he's just, he's done everything and a cut above what we expected in terms of honoring that. And that's a very encouraging sign for a lot of Panthers fans because, you know, we had Jim Zolke, Bill Rosinski, Eugene Robinson recently on one of my podcasts. We reunited the whole band, got them back together. First time they've talked as a group in years on air. And we talked about this and they just thought the team is heading in a good direction in terms of, you know, their plan, but also not forgetting about, you know, the players in the past. And yeah, it's good to see. Darren Gant, he is a Panthers.com reporter. And I think, by the way, that's fantastic too. Quickly, your journey. You were with Mike Florio and PFT. You obviously have been a number of stops here regionally, and you've been an NFL reporter for years now. How did you find your way back into the circuit here? I like your Twitter bio, the bio. Let's see if the old man can still sling it.
I'm the BD Tech of Riders. I jumped in mid-season last year just to see if I could get through it. Fortunately, they're not asking me to throw 60-yard passes, which Vinny could do once about every two or three weeks. it's going good. You know, the one thing I think's really neat about these guys, I mean, it's – I am a former newspaper writer, as most people who ever wrote for a newspaper become someday. And I am a former internet website writer. I mean, listen, the realities for me, you know, in 2020, the pandemic had an effect on the business at NBC, and then layoffs were made. I was one of many people in that company. And the neat thing about where I'm at now, and I say this in all sincerity, it is such a cool team of people working there for the team, the creatives, the video department, working with Kristen Balboni, who is just an all-star. Bill and the team they put together there with social media and the website, it reminds me a lot of working for a newspaper, the way it used to feel. You're walking into a newsroom and you're working around people who are passionate about doing a good job. It's a little bit different, obviously, working for the team as opposed to being, you know, independent. There are certain things, you know, I haven't really been limited. Nobody's ever said, Darren, you can't say that. We haven't gotten to that point. It's not like that necessarily. I mean, there are some differences, obviously, but it does remind me a lot of my old days, whether it was at the Gaston Gazette, Rock Hill Herald, with the Observer. It reminds me of being in newsrooms full of passionate, energetic people.
Don't you miss those days? Man, don't you miss them, though? Man, it's just –
Hey, listen, it was a lot of fun. One of the most, you know, people give me a hard time about telling old stories all the time, but I'm like, the old stories were cool. I mean,
they were cool as hell. Yes.
Tom Sorensen and I got into a car and drove to Alabama to watch Cam Newton's pro day. And on the way there, we stopped to eat dinner at Abdul the Butcher's House of Ribs and Chinese Food in Atlanta. And Abdul the Butcher was there. So Tom and I are sitting around chopping it up with Abdul the Butcher on our way to go watch Cam Newton's pro day. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you get into this business to do. It's cool. And you want to tell good stories. And there are a lot of people around that building there that I get to work with now who are really passionate about telling good stories.
Well, Darren, I can relate on a much lower scale. I worked for the Greenville News for about a decade doing preps, and the love of my life was on Friday nights going out there to cover Pickens High School football or J.O. Man Greenville, whoever it might be. And, that business occasionally consolidated that type of stuff. And as you know, it became more digital, less actual reporting. But life moves on, and so have you.
You got to work with my guy, Willie T. Smith.
Willie T. Smith. Let me tell you, one of the best in the business, nicest guy in the world. I've worked with Jim Rice, Bob Costello, my two editors there, great people. Bart Wright, who I never talked to because he was never there. I was always out covering, but he was the editor at the time. Bart just let Jim and Bob handle me. That's the way that worked. But invaluable experience. I'm sure you feel the same from your years working in a newsroom, but I'm happy to hear that that's a good experience for you, because I know Bill a little bit. I've met him at camp when I covered camp in 11, and he was fantastic in terms of helping me out with advice. And I think that just the entire team there, you guys do a great job giving folks and I said this to you a while back, and I think it confused you a little bit, giving folks an honest assessment of things, because it hasn't always been perceived that way around the league for team in-house outfits. But I think you guys give your guys freedom to work, and you have freedom to work. And it's clear when you read the work and you see the content, it's great.
Yeah, and I think it's an opportunity, and it's not just me. I mean, the Tennessee Titans hired Jimmy Wyatt, who covered the team for the Tennessean for a long time. The Cardinals had Darren Urban, a longtime newspaper man and a close friend of mine. You know, there are a lot of teams around the league. I mean, listen, you want to talk about the old days. I mean, in the old days, there were 10 or 12 newspapers covering the Carolina Panthers.
Yes.
Now there's about one newspaper covering the Carolina Panthers and a website and, you know, our digital operation. So the landscape's changed. But what you want to find are people to work with, whether you're in football or sales or IT. You want to work with people who are passionate about what they do. And you want to work with people who care an awful lot and care enough to work hard at it. And that's what, you know, that's what I've found since I've been in that building. And it's part of what I enjoy the most.
Awesome to hear. Darren Gant, Panthers.com, has been our guest tonight. You can catch him at Panthers.com or at Darren Gant on Twitter. If you get to know Darren a little bit, you want to feed all your fantasy football questions, draft questions, free agent questions, especially the real hot take ones, send them to Darren because he really loves that stuff.
Yeah, no question. But if you want to know how David Geddes is looking in practice, that's still Jonathan Jones's beat. So make sure to send all those his way.
Last question, your favorite John Foxism. Your favorite John Foxism.
I mean, John, this is not my first rodeo. I've done a lot of these interviews. This is not my – no, I one day when we've got a couple hours, we can tell old Foxy stories. There's no doubt about that.
We'll get you back on with Rosinski and Zoki. We'll do a whole John Fox hour-long extravaganza. Maybe somebody can track down Fox himself. It'll be fun. Darren, appreciate you, man. Love your work, and we hope to stay in touch down the road. Enjoy free agent frenzy, my friend.
Thank you, John. You're too kind.
All right, buddy. Darren Gant right here on the World Pod.